What does it mean to repent and believe the gospel? The answer might surprise you, which is why we're going to talk about it today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. We're so excited to be on the air coming through your speakers or headphones because today's topic is an important one. We're currently in a series called The Power of Repentance, and it's based on a book by one of our discussion leaders, Dr. Bob Wilkin. The book is called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. I'm going to come back at the end to tell you how to get your hands on a copy of that book. But as for right now, our topic is so important, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. We're in our repentance series based on a book that Bob has just released. It's called Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. And that's available now at our bookstore and on Amazon. And we're rethinking this big word, this very popular word in evangelicalism, repentance. And when you looked at the Bible, you came to some slightly different conclusions than what most people think about when they think of repentance.
Right. Most people would say repentance is turning from sins, which I agree with. But they also say that it's something a person needs to do in order to be born again. And I've changed my view on repentance multiple times over the years, but I'm of the opinion that repentance is indeed turning from sins, but it's never a condition of eternal life.
Well, I know that can't be right, Bob. I'm sorry about that. I know that can't be right.
Why is that?
Let's look at Mark 1, 14 to 15, because this is obviously...
You've got me here.
This is obviously a proof text against your position because listen to what Jesus says, okay? Now, after John was put in prison, this is John the Baptist, he gets put into prison because he was calling out King Herod. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So, obviously, you have to repent and believe in the gospel to be saved. That's what this verse says. It's right here in front of your face. How could you deny it?
Well, actually, that's how I argued in my dissertation, except when I was working on that, I held the view that repentance was a change of mind about Christ in certain passages. And so I saw this as basically saying something like believe and believe in the gospel, which doesn't make much sense.
You thought it was a synonym. So when Jesus says repent and believe, like you just say, it's almost like he's saying believe and believe, if you take the synonym view.
Or change your mind about Christ and believe in the gospel, which I was taking then to be something like the saving message.
Okay, well, so there's several issues here then, because you're saying the gospel doesn't mean what most people might think it means here.
In this context, I don't know how I missed it, but it's crystal clear. If you look at the first of those two verses, verse 14, now after John, or John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Well, we're told here what gospel he was preaching, the gospel of the kingdom.
Wait, you're making it sound like there's more than one gospel.
Yes, in the New Testament, there's a lot of different gospels. For example, when Jesus is born, that's gospel. When John the Baptist is born, that's gospel. When John the Baptist was proclaiming his baptism of repentance, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And, of course, in the New Testament, Paul talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But here, it's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Here, it's the good news that the kingdom is at hand.
Right, because that's what gospel means fundamentally. It means good news.
Right.
And it applies to anything that can be good news.
Now, some people think gospel of the kingdom was a different way to be born again during the ministry of Jesus. They think people were born again by works during the ministry of Jesus, and then when Paul came on the scene, he got a new gospel, and he was preaching faith alone.
Right.
Well, no, Jesus taught faith alone. Read the Gospel of John. Over and over and over again, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
That's right.
It's always faith in him. And so here, John the Baptist is not preaching a different way to be born again. He's preaching the message that we find, for example, in Matthew 3:2, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Here, he's saying, "Repent and believe in the gospel." So the gospel is the good news that the kingdom is at hand.
Right. And so I like to think of it this way. When God created man and woman, he put them in a garden. And when they fell, he kicked them out. And almost from that point onwards, God was always promising his people that they were going to have a land, a right. prosperous land, a prosperous kingdom, really. And so this promise goes right back to Genesis that there's going to be a literal kingdom. Specifically to the Jews, they were going to have an earthly kingdom that God promised them.
That's
and
right.
God can't break that promise. And so this is the good news that Jesus is saying. This kingdom is being offered to Israel now.
Right. If you've ever seen Fiddler on the Roof, there's this famous scene, I guess his name is Tevye. He's dancing around, rejoicing that the Messiah is coming. And he's longing for Messiah to come. Oh, the Messiah would come. Well, he doesn't believe Messiah has come. He's not a Christian, Jewish person. But on the other hand, for those who are Jewish people who believe Messiah has come, well, then they're rejoicing because they have the expectation of the kingdom, especially if you're in the first century and here he is, right? And he's offering the kingdom to the nation.
Right. And see, a lot of Christian traditions miss this because they don't believe that there's a literal kingdom coming.
Right.
They just spiritualize these passages to mean something like heaven. But we're biblicists and we're dispensationalists, and so we take these promises literally. God promised again and again and again that Israel would have an earthly kingdom and that Jesus was going to rule in that kingdom, and they were expecting it. They believed the Messiah would bring it, and here Jesus is announcing the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's the good news that he's talking about. He's not talking about the good news of being born again and, you know, eternal life and stuff. Not exactly. He's talking specifically the good news, the long-awaited promises are going to be fulfilled. God is offering you this kingdom.
Yeah, and by the way, I think earlier I may have said John was proclaiming this. Obviously, this is what Jesus is after John was in prison. However, this was the same basic message John preached.
Right.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which Jesus also preached, Matthew 4:17. But notice here the beginning words of what Jesus says. The time is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
What time? Well, this is the prophesied time of the kingdom. The
right.
kingdom was going to come. Like you say, Israel is God's chosen people. That's why we have a ministry today called Chosen People Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
The land is the promised land. It also is chosen. Jesus was chosen as Messiah to come and to deliver this kingdom. That's why at the end of his ministry, he can say in Matthew 23:37-39, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you're not willing."
Right.
Now, Psalm 91 talked about that. There's a day coming when God's going to draw Israel like a hen would gather her chicks. But notice, the time is at hand and the kingdom of God is at hand. Here's the kingdom being present. And so the gospel of the kingdom is the good news that the time is fulfilled, the gospel is at hand. And when he says repent and believe in the gospel, when you go back to what you were talking about earlier, Sean, people take this as though this is some sort of evangelistic message to individuals.
Right.
This is national corporate message to Israel.
Right.
He was calling on the whole nation to repent and believe the kingdom is at hand. And that's why in Matthew 23, he says, but you were not willing.
Right.
They weren't willing to come to Jesus in repentance and faith. Now, some people say, well, why does it have to be more than just faith? Doesn't this show that repentance is a condition of eternal life? No. The issue here isn't what does it take for an individual Jew to be born again.
When Jesus talked about how to be born again, and he was talking to Nicodemus,
right.
he didn't say repent and be baptized or anything. He said believe.
That's
right?
Exactly
believe.
Right.
Belief is the condition to be born again. But the conditions for Israel to receive this long-awaited kingdom are two things here. Repent and believe this gospel, this message
right.
here.
Right. Right. Now, ultimately, of course, they had to believe in Messiah, so they had to be a regenerate nation. But had they have believed the kingdom indeed was here, they would have believed that Jesus is Messiah, because that's what Jesus was claiming. And they would have believed his promise, like you said, that he gave to Nicodemus, that he gave to the woman at the well, that all through his ministry, he was telling people to believe in him.
Well, because Jesus told Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom unless you're born again.
Right.
So you have to be born again. Then you have to repent of your sins, and then you have to believe this kingdom message, the whole nation would,
right,
in order to receive that promise.
Right.
And they didn't in that generation.
Exactly. Now, just yesterday, I had someone talking to me about this. They asked me about Romans 11:26, then all Israel will be saved. This person was asking me, does that mean all Israel? I said, yes, at the end of the tribulation, every single Jew is going to be saved from the Gentiles that surround Jerusalem and Israel and are trying to destroy it, and they're going to go into the kingdom. And I said, now, all of the adults will be believers. The children, no. I mean, you're obviously going to have some small children. They're going to be saved, too. But the word saved there doesn't mean born again.
Right.
It means it's brought into the kingdom.
Right. It's not heaven or hell there. It's not, it's not personal born again. It's saved from the Gentiles who are attacking, and they're going to enter the millennium. So
right.
That's a completely different level of thinking of that passage.
Because at the end of the tribulation, then what's going to happen is, people are going to believe the time is fulfilled, and they're going to believe the kingdom of God is at hand, and they're going to believe that they're in the time of Jacob's trouble, only going to last 7 years, and so they're going to know those last 3.5 years are going to be the great tribulation, and so they're going to be a repentant people, they're going to believe the good news that the kingdom is at hand. As a result, at the end of the tribulation, every single adult Jew will be a believer in Jesus Christ, and the whole nation will be in fellowship with him. And so what Jesus was talking about in Mark 1:14-15 is ultimately going to be fulfilled in the tribulation. So what this means for each one of us is this. In order for us to get into the kingdom individually, we simply need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved, Acts 16:31. But in order for the kingdom to come, we're not going to get into the kingdom until Israel gets into the kingdom. Because ultimately, the kingdom's about Israel. And we as the church are coming in with Israel. But it's Israel's kingdom, and it's going to take place centered in the Promised Land and centered in Jerusalem. We'll spread out all over the world to rule with Christ if we've been faithful in this life.
Thanks to our discussion leaders for that great discussion. Now, what you heard today might surprise you. I know the first time I heard this message, it did, but it made so much sense. Maybe you'd like to get further clarity on this issue. I hope you do. A great way to do that is to get a copy of Dr. Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. To get your copy, you can go to Amazon.com or you can come to our website and visit our bookstore. Our website is faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. In addition to this book, we have all kinds of other free resources. You'll see them right there on the site. We have a free subscription to our print magazine. We've got teaching videos. We've got podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of stuff that can help you grow. You might want to look into our Bible conferences that we do around the country. You can find out information about those right there on the site. You can even become a partner in grace, someone who donates to our ministry to help us continue spreading the good news of God's grace. Maybe you've got questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our series in repentance, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.